SBS Radio.
Our next guest in our program is Meyer Bloom, the editor and author of his new book, Sfaradi Narratives from Australia. While Meyer was conducting the interviews for his book, he was asked several times, are there Sfaradis Jews living in Melbourne? The truth is that Sfaradi Jews have been in Australia since convict days, with the biggest influx in the 1950s and 60s. Most are originally from Mediterranean regions, the Middle Eastern Islamic world, and Southeast Asia. Many Jews were born into traditional Jewish communities ranging from hundreds of years old pre-Islamic communities over 2,000 years old. Their numbers, however, have always been small relative to Ashkenazim, which partially explains why their experiences have been little recorded. Meyer Bloom has made a commendable effort to change this situation. The book's interview with Sfaradis from Melbourne and Sydney present histories strikingly different from those of their European counterparts. There are stories of Jews living idyllic lives in Morocco in Egypt. Others tell of long periods of friendly relations with Muslims, neighbors, and merchants. Many, however, were subsequently persecuted and forcibly expelled from their traditional homelands by the rise of Arab nationalism. Sadly, other narratives highlight the geographical reach of Nazi fanatism. One Melbourne grandmother tells of being deported from Salonika to Auschwitz and surviving, even after being shot by a guard. A woman from Sydney recalls how, when pregnant, she had to jump across rooftops to escape murderous mobs during the Nazi-instigated pogrom against Baghdad's Jews. Whether English uncorrected, these accounts are authentic in their portrayal of strong emotions and humorous reflections. Many did not have positive experience when they first arrived. They found Australia culture hard to fathom and Ashkenazi costumes and religious services equally foreign. Without exception, however, they all expressed their gratitude to Australia for giving them the freedom to live a safe and happy life. We are joined now by Meyer Bloom. Hi, Meyer.
Hi, good morning.
Tell us more about your upcoming book and why did you decide to write it?
Okay, well, I'm not of Sephardi background, but quite a few years ago, I did a history master's degree at Monash, and one of the papers I had to write was based on interviewing a number of Sephardi Jews in Melbourne. After I did that, I thought their stories were very interesting and very different to what I know of the history of most of the Jews of Melbourne of Ashkenazi background. And one of my tutors said, you know, if you had enough interviews, you could probably get a book out of this because nobody else has done this. So over time, I managed to interview more people in Melbourne, and I actually flew up to Sydney a number of times and interviewed about 8 people in Sydney. In Sydney, I got people from Iraq and Libya and Tunisia, and did another 15 or so in Melbourne, and somehow, over quite a long period of time, it came together as a book.
How did you manage to find all the interviewees for your book? I mean, how did you approach it at first place, and why choose the term of Sfaradi instead of Ashkenazi or Mizrahi?
Well, I mean, I've used that term Sfaradi to cover all the people I've interviewed. Otherwise, it could get very complicated and messy. Some of them aren't really Sephardi Jews. Some of them who come from places like Iraq or even Iran are probably descended from families that have lived there for 1,000 or even 2,000 years. But the word is often used to refer to all those sort of Jews. I mean, otherwise you'd have to talk about Mizrach and Romaniot and all sorts of categories. And people know where they come from. They know who they are. But the interesting thing is, as it says on the back of the book, that even a lot of people in the Ashkenazi communities here don't know that there's actually a small group of people that migrated here from those Middle Eastern countries. You know, not all the Jews came from Europe or you know, Eastern Europe or Russia.
So how many people are we talking about? How many did you speak to?
There's 23 interviews in the book, but some of those interviews are with 2 or 3 people at once, are with families. They cover a lot of the countries, they've come from countries of North Africa, including Iran, Iraq, and even one from Singapore, and there's a couple from India, the Indian Jews, but originally of Iraqi origin, and one guy in Sydney from Singapore, and the others from various North African countries. So they're really a group of migrants that have come to Australia out of the many, many groups of migrants that have come here, but they're not not much has been researched about them. There's been a couple of papers and a couple of memoirs, but their own voices have never been heard, discussing their own experiences of how they grew up, what they left behind in their home countries, how they got here, which wasn't easy for a lot of them. And also some of them were definitely affected by the Holocaust and persecuted as well. There's a bit of a myth that the Sephardi Jews weren't affected by the Holocaust, but they certainly were.
As a reader, what can one expect from reading it? Maybe share with us some of the stories that you heard while writing this book.
Well, you'll find rather intense and concise history at the front, which is quite a few pages, but it really provides a context for what some of the people talk about, helps you understand why they perhaps say and do the things they did. But what you really find is a lot of interesting human stories about different people's backgrounds, how they grew up in countries like Egypt or Iran or Morocco, whether life was easy, how well they integrated with the local Muslim population. You know, there were countries there where the Muslims used to bring the Jews food at the end of Pesach because they knew the Jews, you know, now could eat chometz, and the Jews used to bring things to the Muslims for their festivals as well. That's how integrated and close they were in some countries. Other places, relations weren't so good. But there's also one fellow there from Rhodes. Oh, he was living in Africa, but he went back to Rhodes, and at 12 years old, he became a bit of a tourist guide as somebody in Rhodes was taking tourists around, but only spoke Ladino, and this 12-year-old fellow knew a bit of Ladino, so he translated into English for the tourists. So at 12 years old, he was a tourist guide in Rhodes. Fortunately for him, he went back to Rhodesia, where they migrated to, and sadly, everybody back in Rhodes, of course, was murdered in the Holocaust. But there are a lot of stories like that. One lady was actually survived Auschwitz. She was shot. She was a slave at Auschwitz, and she survived and lives in Melbourne now. Other people had, not everybody suffered hard. Some people came to Australia, like from Morocco and India, because a lot of the Jews left for either Israel or America, and although they weren't really persecuted, they had some connection and they came to Australia. Wherever these people came from, they all basically said that Australia was the right decision, that this is where they've had the most opportunities, and there is a cost that a lot of their tradition and a lot of their history has been sort of thinned out a bit, and especially as a lot of the children and grandchildren have intermarried with the majority Ashkenazi community. But Sydney and Melbourne, especially Sydney, still has quite a strong Sephardi community. They celebrate events in their own way. And, of course, there are much larger Sephardi communities in a few places in America, like Seattle, San Francisco, New York, LA, etc. But Australia has its, while the numbers are small, we also have significant people who migrated here from those countries.
And I understand that writing this book wasn't an easy task because it was sort of a race against time. Are people in your book still alive?
Look, sadly, out of the 23 interviews, which involved about nearly 30 people, probably a third aren't around anymore. I have been in touch with some of the families. I mean, one lady I interviewed was 100 years old, and she died a month off her 102nd birthday, which is rather sad, but of course it's not tragic. And unfortunately, about, I think, 7 of the 23 have passed away because they were in their 80s or 90s, and that's the way it is. I do regret that I couldn't get this done before they could see it, but their families will certainly see it, and their histories and their stories are in the book.
Meyer, what is your profession background? Which field are you coming from? It's not literature, isn't it?
Look, I've been interested in writing for a long time, and I have over the years have published the odd article, review, short story, reflective piece, just here and there, little bits and pieces. I'm not quite sure how it started. I think I edited my school magazine in the 1960s at high school and wrote a few things at uni, and somehow this all evolved and the challenge came up to try and write a book, which was the first one I did about with interviews of people of different religious and multicultural backgrounds. Basically, I've been a teacher. I've just retired from teaching. I'm not retired. I've got many, many things that I'm doing. But I basically taught a very large range of subjects in everything from high school to university to TAFE, whatever. And I'm still in the early stages now of deciding what I'm going to do. I've only been non-teaching since the end of last year. So I guess I'm sure things will come up. Actually, I did recently edit a little booklet of old people, biographies of some old people, but it's something. So, it'll be interesting to see what evolves and what develops.
Now, going back to your current book, who do you think would read this book? Who is your target audience, or who would you like to see reading it?
It's part of the migration history to Australia. It's part of the history of Jews in Australia, which not a lot's been done on these particular Jews. I'm hoping later on, possibly overseas, there might be some interest shown. There have been a couple of things published in England and America on Sephardi migrants. So I don't think even there they'd be aware that there were other communities like that in Australia. And hopefully, it can be of use at universities as well. If people are researching Jewish history and history of Jews coming to Australia, and even history of migrants coming to Australia, because the majority of the Australian population is of a migrant background somewhere, whether it's your parents, your grandparents, or whatever, or going way back. And on that, just want to say the interesting thing is, on the first fleet to Australia, there were, I think it's either 12 or 14 Jews, convicts, were on that first boat, and several of them had Portuguese or Spanish names, and that's why in some of the history books it claims that there were Sephardi Jews on the first fleet. They were of that background.
Oh, interesting. That's very interesting.
And the descendants of those Jews, they sort of didn't keep it going. They didn't have the numbers. And eventually, the majority that migrated here were Ashkenazi Jews from Europe.
Now, the book launch is coming up very soon. Where and when is it going to happen?
Yes. Well, the launch is actually at the Sephardi Shul. The Sephardi Shul is at 79 Hotham Street, East St Kilda.
We are talking about Melbourne, of course.
Yeah, it's opposite the big Chabad Yeshiva Center, which everybody knows, yet many people told me they didn't even know there was a Sephardi shul there, but there certainly is, and the launch will be Sunday the 23rd at 4 o'clock. After the launch, we will look at how we can distribute a bit more widely, whether online or a number of bookshops, but we will find a way to make it available more obviously after that date.
That's great. Do you see yourself writing more in the future? Maybe on other topics related to the Jewish world or other cultures?
Well, I did do a book about 10 or 12 years ago, and from idea to final print, I think must have been about 14 or 15 years. This book, my tutor said one day, uni casually, this is about 12 years ago, oh, you could make a book out of this if you get a few more interviews. So it's only taken about 11 or 12 years. Obviously, I don't work on it full time. Plus, I had a few minor events happen in the middle, like two of my kids getting married and four grandchildren being born. So you get these little life interruptions. I have travelled to a few countries and photographed various historically important places to do with Sephardi. I've done Ashkenazi places in Europe, but also Sephardi history in Greece and Turkey and places like that. And I would still like to go and got a few more places on my list. I'm not sure when I'm going to get there, but hopefully I will, and try to put together a book of images and words reflecting on the history of those Jewish communities, both Sephardi ones and Ashkenazi ones that I've studied before. Somehow put together a book where I can show the images of what used to be and either have people's opinions or some sort of literature that reflects the lives that were there before the war. That's what I'm really into, to try and show something about pre-war lives. I mean, a lot's been written about the Holocaust, of course, and post-Holocaust. I'm looking at the area, the time before the Second World War.
Meyer Bloom, the publisher and editor of the book Sephardi Narratives from Australia, I would like to wish you all the best and good luck with future projects.
Thank you very much, and thank you for letting me talk about the book.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.